Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking the best I've seen you in 2020. I know some of you said, I hope it doesn't get any worse. I'll open your Bibles with me to Joshua, if you would. How many are excited about 2020?
Yes.
Right, and the rest of you want to go back home and go to bed. All right, okay. All right. Joshua chapter 23. When you have Joshua 23, would you stand to your feet? All right, let's pray. Father, we cannot take lightly the word that you bring to us. Because you are the word, and everything that is began with your word. Let the power of the word of God, written and spoken, make 2020 our best year ever. May every person experience you in the Word in greater depth than ever before. May we hear you today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I have a few thoughts I want to share with you today and entitle my remarks, Receiving from the Lord What He Has Promised in 2020. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, it says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. And 1 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 5. It says, all these were sons of Heman, the king's seer. They were given him through the promises of God to exalt him. Promises given to exalt. And Psalm 145 and verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generation. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Now, God gives us promises. There's no point in giving us a promise if what is inherently inside that promise doesn't at some point manifest in our lives. And we know that sometimes promises are faithful to produce if we are faithful to believe. As you know, the first generation of Israel had a promise to go into the promised land, but most of them didn't, though they were promised that, simply because they didn't believe. The second generation had the same promise, and they inherited that land and all the blessings that went with it. And so I'd like to suggest to you that 2020 is kind of like a new territory that has been yet unexperienced, but promised to us, full of blessing. And I want to make a statement to you, and I'd like you to listen to it very carefully. In fact, I'm going to repeat it three times, because I'd like you to carry this with you throughout this year. As I was praying and listening to the Lord, I felt God speak this to me. And so I'd like you to experience what is inherent in this word that is about to come to pass over this next year. 2020 is to be a year of fulfillment, manifestation, increase, change, harvest, reconciliation, unity, and promotion at a personal level and at a corporate level for this house. I'm going to read it two more times. 2020 is to be a year of fulfillment, manifestation, increase, change, harvest, reconciliation, unity, and promotion at a personal level and a corporate level for this house. One more time. 2020 is to be a year of fulfillment, manifestation, increase, change, harvest, reconciliation, unity, and promotion at a personal level and a corporate level for this house. If you were here at the watch night service, the word of the Lord to us was 2020 would be new days and new ways. New days and new ways. It's easy to live life based upon what has been. All of us are in certain tracks and routines and patterns. We don't even think about them. We just kind of let them roll. And without some serious reason for reflection on our lives, we just operate in those same patterns. And you know what I'm saying is true. You get out of bed in the morning and generally follow the same routine. And you have those same kinds of tracks, patterns, or rut of occurrences in other parts of your life. Your perspective about certain things, where you sit when you come in this building, all kinds of things we have on autopilot. And that particular feature of habit isn't altogether bad, but it can be in our way and in God's way. And so we don't reflect on any of those habits that we have that we think are part of what we use to get through life unless something happens. You take a certain route to work every day, and you do certain things in preparation for that process. That generally does not change unless something happens to prevent you from doing so. The tube is down. The road is blocked. Your business is bought out. Something happens that changes your routine. I'd like to say to you that God is going to interrupt our routines in 2020, not because he wants to bring us consternation, dismay, disappointment, or frustration, but because he wants to direct us in some new paths and some new ways. And in a moment, I'm going to have the stewards distribute those envelopes that you see there at the back. If you be careful, there's a little booklet in each one of them so they don't fall out. But the new ways and new days that God spoke to us on watch night, obviously the new days began on January 1st, but the new ways will begin to unfold before us, first of all in Revelation. God will reveal himself to you either by something he says or by something that occurs in your life that interrupts the pattern of your life. It's as You know, Israel was 430 years under the oppression of the Egyptians, but one day God said, okay, it's not to be like it has been. You've been making bricks a long time. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been making bricks long enough. Now you're supposed to become the owner of the brickyard. And so God interrupted their lives radically. He radically interrupted their lives. And people had difficulty with that. Because as the changes began to be in their face and they had to kind of go along with them, some people weren't sure about that. And they complained. They said, well, why can't it be like it was? You know, we hated our life, but at least we knew what it was going to be. You ever met anybody like that? They love the regular misery? Well, God wants to take us into new places. And I believe that that's His plan for 2020. First of all, as I said, in Revelation. Then secondly, in faith-filled obedience. God required Israel, if you were going to experience some blessing outside of making a few extra bricks and not having the Egyptians whip you so hard, not having to work so much overtime to where you were dead in your body, that if they were going to experience something, they had to embrace what God was doing. You have to embrace what God is doing to experience something better than your life. If you don't embrace that, you'll continue as you are. And you'll still go to heaven, but you'll just have tomorrow and next week and next month and 5 months from now and the end of 2020 pretty much the same, unless you embrace God's process to take you into a new place. You see, most of you, if not all of you, would be aware that we're going to leave this place probably in the next few months. So that means a change for all of us, whether you like it or not. Whether you like the new place or where you'll get a seat that you're really happy with. Whatever those things, and those are all kind of, to some degree, unknowns to us. But we know that our days in this building are numbered. And so leaving here isn't just the acquisition of some new property and the exit of this one. It actually represents part of a spiritual acquisition of faith, which is part of our journey, is part of our heritage, part of the way we live. We walk by faith and not by crises. And so it's important for us to embrace a process. And I want to give you what I believe is the process that God has provided for us in 2020. But first of all, there'll be a revelation that there is change on the horizon. Change on the horizon. You know, young couple get married, and then all of a sudden, the woman finds out she's pregnant. Those physical signs are a message to them that change is on the horizon. Now, I met a couple some years ago that They had two children. The wife became pregnant, but she believed that she wasn't going to be pregnant again. So she didn't tell her husband initially. And then, of course, she began to have some of the telltale signs of pregnancy. But because they had received a word that she wasn't going to have any more children, they just presumed that this was what we might call lying signs and wonders. The problem was she kept getting bigger and bigger. So when the time came for the child to be born, they had made zero preparation. They didn't have a name. They didn't have a crib. They didn't have any baby clothes. They didn't have nothing. Zero. But they had, after they went to the hospital, another member of the family. And they really didn't embrace the message that was so apparent. And so God is going to knock on your door in 2020 and he's going to say, I've got some changes. You want to embrace the process? You want the outcome to be the best it can best possibly be? Embrace the process. Say, yes, Lord. So let's get a little practice right now. Let's everybody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever you want for my life,
I know it's good.
Your plan for me is good. 2020 will be great.
Yes, Lord.
I say yes, Lord.
I say yes, Lord.
In advance.
In advance.
I say yes, Lord.
I say yes, Lord.
Now, some of you remember that. Because sometimes when you say yes to the Lord, what it initially looks like isn't so wonderful. Just like it was for Israel. They said yes to the Lord. We killed the Passover lamb. We put some blood on the doorposts. We had the Passover meal. And at midnight, wow, we left. Oh, that was interesting. They left only to discover that they were being chased by soldiers. Should they have not said yes? Now, of course, we have the benefit of reading the book. Of course, they should have said yes. Sometimes when you say yes to God, you release a set of circumstances that are meant to train you in how to live by faith. If you stop saying yes, then you stop living by faith. And you end up like they were in the first generation. So there's first revelation, then faith-filled obedience, then manifestations of grace and power. And I believe that God has some great manifestations of grace and power for this house in 2020. Psalm 27 and verse 8 says, my heart says of you, seek his face. And so David says, your face, Lord, I will seek. So just as Raymond was exhorting us at the start of the service and a few minutes ago, 2020 should be a year of more prayer in your life and my life and our life together than ever before. Not because we are desperate or in some great crisis, but because we understand something very important about prayer that I'm going to share with you in a moment. Job 22 in verse 26 says, surely then you will find delight in the Almighty and will lift up your face to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you and you will fulfill your vows. What you decide on, wow, what you decide on will be done. And light will shine on your ways. When men are brought low and you say, lift them up, then he will save the downcast. He will deliver even one who is not innocent. Wow. What a promise. 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 12 says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue. Everybody say, pursue. Pursue righteousness. You say, but how do you pursue righteousness? Because when I got saved, the Bible says that God took away my filthy rags and he put on me his righteousness. How is it that I pursue righteousness if I'm wearing righteousness? That's a good question. You need to ask the question and answer it. How does God want you to pursue, go after? And this word in the original language means with great energy, great strength, great drive. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Are you pursuing all those things? That's a great challenging verse, isn't it? I mean, just take one of them. Pursue righteousness. A lot of other people are pursuing all kinds of things, but they're not pursuing righteousness. Pursue godliness. What's the difference between godliness and righteousness? Pursue faith. Well, some people think, well, you either have it or you don't. Here the Bible says pursue faith. Pursue it. Go after it. Go after it. Pursue love. Pursue somebody else loving you, or pursue loving others. Pursue endurance. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to pursue that. That sounds like work. Pursue gentleness. Wow. Then he says, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. So there is a war, there is a contest, and it is a faith contest. But the reward of fighting and winning are the rewards of grace. And so I want to give you a little pack today. So if stewards will distribute those to you, and I'd like you to keep these, because they will provide you a track for prayer, for faith, for our time of fasting and prayer together. And when you get yours, be careful when you distribute those so that the little booklet doesn't fall out. There's a little booklet on the inside for each of you. So you can keep the envelope and use that to keep everything together. So I'd like to encourage you to embrace the process. That's what this is. Who doesn't have one yet? Okay, we got several here that... Okay, so several up here that don't have them. We just need another 12 stewards. Anybody else not have one? Okay. Oh, she'll get one. She'll get one. Behind you, there's someone there. Anybody at the back? Do you have them at the table back there? Okay. All right, you can take them out of the envelope. I'm sure probably most of you have already. But the contents... after this first page, we have some scriptures that I have provided for you, for all of us, as we go forward in 2020 in fasting and prayer. Some scriptures to provide the foundation of your faith. You know, if you're going to believe God for something, you just can't have a notion in your head. You need some promise to hang it on. And if you have a promise to hang it on, that's a basis for your faith, then you can see a harvest. And so I've provided you with some scriptures for that. And they're kind of related to both faith and fasting, since they are tied together. And following that, there are a few, though there's several pages there, of the prophetic words given to this house. And I'm not going to take time to read those aloud. You'll be able to work through those on your own and use them as a basis for your prayer and your affirmation and your declaration. And then lastly, the booklet on fasting, which... if you will be sure to read this, will help you with a biblical focus on prayer and fasting. I know fasting is probably all of our favorite subject. I took a poll a few years back and asked you how many of you preferred feasting to fasting, and it was unanimous. You preferred feasting to fasting. But Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He said when. And so this little booklet here will help you with fasting. You say, Pastor, I don't do very well at fasting. Well, you can stay where you are or you can go beyond where you've been. Everything that God asks us to do requires something from us, generally that we think we are inadequately prepared to fulfill. So God said to Moses, get these 3.5 million people out of Egypt and into Canaan. That was a bigger task than he thought. God says, I want you to fast. You say, well, I'm not very good at fasting. You can always start with the I can't. And if that's where you start from, you can be sure that's where you will end up. I can't. But if you say, I can do all things through Christ, you will succeed. And so it's vital if we're going to walk where God has intended us to walk, experience the blessings of the Lord and the harvest of our faith, that we have to embrace the process. And so we'll have 10 days of fasting. And as you see there, the 19th through the 28th, that's 10 days, including the Sunday that it starts on and the Tuesday that it finishes on. 10 days of fasting. And we will meet at the building right here, the building that we are leaving. Everybody say, the building we are leaving. And we'll meet here Monday through Friday of the first week, from 8 to 9, and Monday and Tuesday of the second week, the Saturday and the Sunday, we won't be meeting here for prayer in the evening. So the fasting details, 10 days of water-only fasting for all who can undertake it. Some of us probably have never done 10 days of water-only, but you will survive. And I remember my first time of fasting, I did water only fast for 3 days. I thought I was going to die the second and the third day. I didn't die, obviously. I did survive. It's an opportunity for you to discover something in God about fasting. And that's why you need to read the book. Don't read the book. Fasting will be tougher. Hello? You don't read the book. Fasting will be... Because the book is designed to give you both information and the inspiration of faith that what you're doing, since it's prescribed by God, is something that's actually going to bring blessing to you, and there will be grace imparted to you in the process. So you can say, Pastor, when you're fasting, have you ever experienced headaches, nausea, weakness, da-da, all these? Yes, I have. I'm not wishing that on you. But I have experienced those things. But you move beyond them. You move beyond them, especially if you go past 3 days. And I'll be giving you some more information about fasting and some more tips and helpful things to get the most out of fasting. Now, fasting is not just starvation for 10 days. It is, as Ray suggested, it has to be accompanied by prayer. Now, fasting has a merit in itself. It has a merit in itself, which you'll discover in the book. If you want to experience the blessing of God at another level, then you can undertake fasting in faith and experience God's breakthrough in your life beyond what you've known. Sometimes God's people can be inclined to think, I don't want to exert myself for anything greater. And that mentality will rob you. Is it God always calls us beyond where we've been, both in terms of experience and our own perceived sense of adequacy. So some of you will probably sit here and think, well, I just can't do 10 days of water only fasting. It's just, you know. And that might be the position that you are currently in your head. But ask the Lord. If He wants you to fast, and He does, it's in the Bible, in the New Testament. We'll look more at it. Lord, would you help me do 10 days of water only? No, I won't help you. No, He will. He'll give you grace. He'll enable you to go beyond what you think. So 10 days of water-only fasting for all who can undertake it. Modified fasting for those who have medical conditions. They're pregnant, they're under a doctor's care, or they're unable to do a water-only fast due to the fact that they're a bricklayer. How many bricklayers we... Okay, we're fine then. If you had a very strenuous physical labor, or you're doing split-second calculations in the stock market, maybe you might modify your fast. But we can all fast television, internet, tablet, Xbox, social media. We can all fast 10 days of that. And this includes children, teenagers, adolescents, single parents, married, and the aged. Wow. Yeah, you can actually fast it. What will happen if you fasted all of those things for 10 days? Amazing. Your mind would actually be focused. Another word we heard earlier today. Focused in a different way. And that's what you want. You want to get the maximum amount of approaching God through humbling yourself in fasting. You want, if you're going to do the fasting, if you're going to deny your body food, if you're going to deal with the spiritual thing that happened to mankind, and it came through food. Food is an evil. But sin came through the appetite, through eating food. So I didn't make this up. God made it up. God said in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, He said, I want you to do something that shows that your appetite is under your control. If not, then your appetite, just like in the Garden of Eden, is what's controlling you. You know, none of us want to say that. None of us want to say it. So if God designed fasting and prayer, then there is something special and powerful in it. Something special and powerful in it. So, while you're in this period of time where you have extra time, you're not buying groceries, you're not preparing food, you're not clearing up from the wreckage, you got this extra time. What are you doing with that? And that's part of what the rest of this package here is designed to provide you. It gives you an alternative focus. An alternative focus. You can take these things in your normal lunchtime. Read through these. Let the Holy Spirit speak them to you. And these are only some of the prophetic words given to this house. I want to encourage you that as we head into 2020 and we're looking to God to break forth at a personal level, at a corporate level. And it is my current understanding, and I'll probably meet in the next week or 10 days with the owner of this building that we've left to find out an updated time frame. A couple of months ago, he said 6 to 9 months. So we're getting near the end of this period of time where we're in this building before they knock it down. So we're closer now than we were. And the building that we believe is ours is in the negotiations with with the council, for what they're thinking. And that's where our attention is focused at a corporate level, is our faith to get out of this one and our faith to get us into the other one. I guess it really doesn't take a lot of faith to get out of this. It's just when they start knocking it down, we can't meet here. So it's kind of exciting. You know, it's kind of like the day Moses came and said, okay, we're getting out of here. Can't stay here any longer. Can't stay here any longer. Oh, yes, Moses, where are we going? Well, we're going to go to Canaan. Yeah? Okay. Where's that? Oh, just over the sea there. Yeah, how are we getting there? Well, we're going to walk. Yeah, but what do we do when we get to the Red Sea? Well, not my problem. Hello. 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, all this was written for our example and learning, upon whom the ends of the age are come. God says, I put it in the book so you could learn that every time I tell you to get out of place, I'm going to take you into another place. So you got the message, you got the signal, you're getting out. No more One Graham Road. No more One Graham Road. And let me tell you, I know for certain that it was God who got us in here. He got us out of the last place and He got us in here. Because we weren't going to get in here from a human point of view. It was a miracle that got us in here. It was a miracle that transformed this building into what we have today. A series of them. And so it's that same God who says already goodbye to this one and hello to the other one. And so our part is to be a people who say, okay, we're going to qualify to go in to our new place because we're like the second generation and we say we are well able. And you say it personally and corporately. Whatever is the space of God's inheritance, the promises He has spoken to you, you can say and you ought to say, I'm well able to possess my possessions. 2020 is meant to be a movement, a spiritual movement. Say, well, Pastor, I don't really feel it. I just don't feel it. That's okay. You don't have to feel it. Most people in this world are waiting to do something they haven't done before until they feel it. No, God comes to us and He says, it's time to go. He says to Abraham, go. Well, go. And when God says go, we say go. And there's blessing in it. So, you can, we'll look at these some more next week and take this whole process forward. But I wanted to bring to you today some advanced view of the process of how God is taking us forward in 2020 as a congregation and for you and your family individually. I'd like for you to get the maximum out of this season of our journey. I'd like you to be able to come away from 2020 at our watch night service and say, it was the best year of our lives. Here we are celebrating in a new facility. Here we are with amazing things that have happened in our family and with our children and our business and our employment and all of those things that God has done. It's because you embrace the process. Embrace the process. Now, all of you look so cheerful and excited. It's just amazing how really adventurous you look right now. Stand to your feet. I was listening to a man who was giving a testimony of all the amazing miracles that were happening in his congregation and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and he was talking about prayer and fasting. And he said, you know, he said, I'll be honest with you. I like food. And I think that's probably true for most people here. But there is something more important than my love for food. And that is acquiring the grace of God at a whole new level. And God has designed it so that fasting and prayer, and I want us to really open up this whole thing of the secrets of fasting. What is that designed to do? What is it designed to do? Why does God say, do it? And if God says do it, and He's designed it, then there is something so significant and powerful in it that if I don't do it, I miss out all that. And that's why it's so important for us to say yes to Him. Yes to the process. To the process. You know, they brought to Jesus this one that was having seizures and throwing itself into the fire. And the people who brought him complained to Jesus that they couldn't cast the devil out of this one. Jesus made an interesting statement. He said, these kind come out except through fasting and prayer. What are you saying? He's saying there's a level of grace, there's a level of power that produces supernatural change that only comes with fasting and prayer. A level of grace that only comes with fasting and prayer. I believe we want to stretch out after that. We want to stretch out after that. There's a story to be written about New Life Bible Church that is our story. It's our story if we'll reach out with fasting and prayer. Let's pray. Father, we believe we have heard from you that 2020 will be new days and new ways. That you will enable us, Lord, to do our part even. Seeking your face and seeking you with the humbling of fasting and prayer. We pray, Lord, that each of us will read the book and the prophecies and the scriptures. We'll take the time with our children and our families to talk about and meditate them. And when we gather, Lord, alternative nights to intercede or to worship. And to intercede and to worship. Lord, we will walk in modes and levels of intercession and faith that we've never walked in while we were fasting. Thank you, Lord, that you even provide us a wisdom by which we can have an increase of the miraculous. May we walk in that wisdom and not forsake it. May we embrace it and not decline it. May we not use cheap and foolish excuses that cause us to be left alone and left aside. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us to walk through these days of adventure and continually give shouts of praise to the God who brings us through to victory. So we can say, like the word, not one of your promises has failed. We inherited what we intended to inherit. We experienced the manifestation and the increase and the provision and the enlargement and the reconciliation and the unity. All of those things came to us because we simply said yes to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Hug 9 smiling people before you leave.